Welcome back to Through the Word. Chase Acuna here, and if you're a fan of cooking shows like I am, you probably will enjoy our continued discussion about food. Well, food sacrificed to idols. Here in chapter 10, Paul takes us back in history to use the failures of Israel as an example in how to deal with those areas of life that we call liberties. If you aren't sure what that means, check out the guide for 1 Corinthians 8, where we dive deeper into what we mean when we talk about Christian liberties. So, do Christians have the freedom to eat meat sacrificed to idols or drink wine? Well, let's jump into Paul's history lesson to find out more. Verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. So the nation of Israel received great spiritual blessings, just like Christians experience today. They had been delivered out of Egypt by the sacrifice of a lamb, as Christians are delivered out of sin by the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Israel had passed through the Red Sea, just as believers are baptized and cleansed by the Holy Spirit. Israel was given bread and water from God himself, just as believers are given the bread and water of life. Yet Paul says that God was not pleased with Israel, and he judged them hard. Every adult in Israel died in the wilderness. Why? Verse 6, now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. If you read through Exodus through Deuteronomy, you see that Israel, the chosen people of God, were, well, not always that great back to God. Within a few months of seeing God's power defeat the pagan gods of Israel, Israel starts worshiping an idol made of gold. Later, they commit sexual immorality when the king of Moab sends women to entice the Israelite men. They continually murmur and complain against the Lord, and the result of their sin was God's judgment. They had been delivered out of Egypt. God had given them his covenant, but with a great covenant comes great responsibility. Israel was called to obey God and glorify him. Instead, they sinned. Verse 11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So Israel's story should be a warning to us. We must be careful to not be overconfident in who we are as Israel was. Instead, we should be encouraged that when we're tempted to sin, and we always will, God will always provide a way out for us. Paul then moves on to talk about the devil's communion. Wait, what? Well, when a Christian takes communion, we have fellowship with Christ. In the same way, when someone eats at a pagan temple, he has fellowship with demons. Verse 19. Do I mean then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. But the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Hold up, you might say. Didn't Paul already say that eating the meat at the temple isn't really a big deal? For the believer that has a clean conscience, it isn't. But for those who have come from the background of idolatry, it can be a very big deal. So because of that, it wasn't good for a believer to partake of the meat in temples. They could buy the meat in the market for a deal, but shouldn't go into the temple and order a plate of Bacchus's beef brisket. It just wasn't wise. In the same way, a Christian might argue that having a glass of wine or beer at a barbecue is okay. But it probably isn't a great idea to pull a bar stool up at Danny's drinking den. But some of us might ask, don't I have the freedom? What about my liberties? Verse 23. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The principle here is simple. When it comes to one's liberties, we don't want anything that causes a weaker brother or sister in Christ to fall into sin or temptation. Christians are free, but not everything helps each other be more like Christ. We don't want to use our privileges to tear down what Christ has built up. Instead, we should consider others in everything we do. Paul argues the same thing also in Romans 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. In addition to living for others, Paul commands us to live for God's glory, even if it means we sacrifice. Verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. So we see Paul's goal once again, which should also be ours as followers of Jesus. We want others to come to know Jesus, and we want our lives to point to how glorious he truly is. And here's the thing. It may mean sacrificing at times your own pleasures or freedoms. Listen, there are three groups of people, Jews, Gentiles, and the church. We should live in a way that reaches out to the lost Jews and Gentiles and builds up the body of Christ. And if you have to give up something for this goal, then let us remember the sacrifice that Jesus gave. Everything for you and I. Join us tomorrow for chapter 11 on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.